About now. There we go. Okay. I guess I'm loud enough that I don't need a microphone. But, I forgot to tell you, we'll release the children ages or 6th through 8th grade, I think, what Nathaniel told me. 3rd to 6th, okay, 3rd to 6th. I got it wrong then. That's normal for me. But anyhow, yeah, chaos, man. I tell you what, it's been a rough week, and seems like I had a lot on my plate, and then I got more thrown on it, you know, and I could feel that anxiety welling up in me. You know, most of you guys know that I work on guns. Well, deer season for regular firearm season came and went. Well, now yesterday was the opening day of the muzzleloader season. Yeah, and and I don't know. It seems like hunters are the biggest procrastinators that they are. Because I get a call from one of the local gun shops on Monday, and he says, "Hey," he said, you work on muzzleloaders too?" And I said, "Yeah, I have in the past." And he said, "Well, I got a guy that needs to have two of them looked at." He said he hadn't looked at them in 10 years, and he drug them out of the closet. And it looks like one of them was fired, but it never was clean because it's got a lot of rust and stuff on it. And I, oh, goody, you know. He said he'd like to get these things up and running, and he wants to go hunting with them Saturday morning. Okay. Well, you know, one of them wasn't bad at all. It was pretty good shape, and so it didn't take much to clean it up. And the other one, it was almost too far gone. Because black powder and its substitutes is a lot like chaos and anxiety. It can filter into places where we don't think it's filtering into. And if it's not dealt with, it'll lock up that gun. It'll lock up your life. And I was getting to that point where that anxiety was creeping in on me, and it was to the point where I didn't know I was going to be able to do anything. I couldn't get it all done, so I was locked up. I didn't think I could get anything done. You know, and I had to cry out to the Lord in that, and it got to affecting me physically. No, not only mentally, but physically. I started feeling pains in my chest and in my arms, and I had an upset stomach, and it was terrible feeling. But I'd felt that before. Back when I was in law enforcement, I was in a high-stress environment all the time, it seemed like, and I was having these feelings. So I knew exactly what it was, and I knew exactly what I had to do to get rid of it. But it still was in the back of my mind, all this chaos. And you know, and as I was... I guess it was just the Holy Spirit that brought this time for me to teach on this particular subject this morning. And we're in the series called Advent, the Heart of Christmas. And guess what I get to teach on today? Peace. Peace. So I've known for a long time that the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And shalom in Israel is a greeting that they use, and it means, "I wish you well. I wish you well." They say it when they greet you, and they say it when you depart from them. Shalom. Shalom. Peace be upon you. But it also means wholeness. You know, and it's hard to be whole when all your focus is on chaos, isn't it? When that's all you can think about is everything that's going on in your life. And you know, we see that happening in the scriptures as well. How many of y'all remember the story of Martha and Mary, right? Amen. I got it wrote down right here, and it's in Luke chapter 10. It says, "And as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Then the Lord replied," the letter's in red here, "'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" She was laying at the feet of Jesus. You know, and there's a good reason for that, because long before Jesus ever came to be born in that manger, the prophet Isaiah spoke about him in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says this: "For a child has been born to us, and a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulder, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. You know, one of the names for God in the Old Testament was Yahweh Shalom. God is peace. God is whole. In the beginning, that's the way he created us, to be one with him in complete whole existence with him, in daily communion with him. And then sin entered the world, and that broke that wholeness. We're not whole without Jesus. You've heard me say that, you know, Coke got it all wrong when they had that commercial that said things go better with Coke. I want you to know that things go better with Jesus. Things go better with Jesus, you know. And if you break that word shalom down, in the Hebrew, the symbols that create the word shalom, mem, vav, lamed, shem, it means peace, means to destroy the authority attached to the chaos. Destroy the authority attached to the chaos. Well, who brings chaos in our life? Who's the authority that does that? Who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy? And who has defeated him? Jesus Christ on the cross, right? Well, we know that before Jesus came on the scene, 400 years, the Israelites had no prophets. And they lamented about the Messiah that was to come. They were under Roman occupation. Their life was in chaos. Would you not think so? They had been through captivity time and time again, and now they were under Roman occupation and Roman persecution. And they cried out to God, "Oh God, send us our Messiah, send us our Messiah." So he did. And when he wanted to usher in the good news of the birth of this Messiah, because, you know, most of the Israelites at that time under this Roman occupation, they were wanting a conquering king to defeat and to oust the Romans from the Hebrew and the Israelite land. That's what they were looking for. But God sent a Messiah in a wholly different way. And the news of the Messiah came in Luke chapter 2. Not to kings, not to religious authorities, but to who? Shepherds. Lowly little, stinky little shepherds. In verse 8, chapter 2, it says, "In that region there was shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.'" Peace among those whom he favors. So God didn't herald in the news of the Messiah's birth through kings or prophets or religious leaders. He heralded in the news to shepherds. They weren't the highest in Israelite society, but that's the ones that he used and he wanted to tell, because God offers that peace to all men. It doesn't matter what your walk of life is, what your occupation is, how much money you have or don't have, Max, that's right. He offers each and every one of us his peace. A peace that transcends all understanding, right? He loves us. God loves you. And he doesn't want you to be in chaos. He doesn't want you to be not made whole. Because in each and every one of us, there's a yearning in our hearts for those who have not received Jesus Christ. That yearning and that thing that's missing in your life, that hole that's right in the middle of your heart, it's shaped like a cross. Jesus is what we need. He's what makes us complete. He is what gives us peace. You know, and through his ministry, we see him talking all the time about that peace, right? He talked to us. He says, come to us, all you are weary and heavily burdened, and I'll give you rest for your souls. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Come to me. And he was telling them to have peace. It had to come through him. And he says, I've told you these things. John 16:33, I have told you these things, for in this world you will have trouble. Right? But take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. He has overcome the world. And if we're in him, we are overcomers. Guy and I, we've been talking a lot about a verse in Revelation chapter 12, right? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We're overcomers. We can have peace. We don't have to have this state of chaos all the time. You know, in that little illustration about Martha and Mary, and Mary laying and sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what was said. You know, what is one of the states? Rest is a state of peace, isn't it? We can rest in Jesus. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can rest in Jesus, because he said, this world, we're going to have trouble, right? But our troubles don't need to have us. We don't have to, our troubles don't own us. We can have peace. You know, and 20 years ago, at this time of year, in my home, there was no peace. We had a son who was struggling with a full-blown addiction. And there was chaos. We didn't know what to do. My son, who was in addiction, he didn't know what to do. He hated himself for what he needed, what his desires was. He even wrote a poem about it. What is it that's got me now? At first, it was just for fun. But now, when I want it, I can't even run. This world spins me faster and faster, and maybe one day again I'll cry to the master. But until then, here alone I'll be, and no one even knows to see me. And we didn't know. We were blind. We didn't. That was something new for my family. We never knew how to deal with it. So I dealt with it the best way I knew, as a cop. I got physical sometimes trying to keep him in the house because I didn't want him to do bad things. And that didn't work. He ran off, and Nathaniel had to chase him all the way across town till his feet bled one night in the cold. And it came to head 3 days before Christmas when we got into an argument. And I was trying to pull him out of a car in Bar Reef parking lot by the hair of his head, because he was with some people that were in the drug activity and in the culture. And he slipped through my fingers, and he went away with those friends. And I didn't know what to do. I was so desperate. And the first night he didn't come home, and I don't know that I slept at all. All I could think about was my son and what he was doing, where he was at. Was he alive? Was he dead? Anxiety, chaos, turmoil reigned in our home. Tuesday, I went to work, and it was just a blur. Christmas Eve, or the day before Christmas Eve, rather. And Tuesdays was when our small group, our cell group, met. And I was so desperate, I just spilled the beans. I let him know what was going on, and I just asked him to pray. And some of the praying warriors that were there that night was in that house with us, and we were praying for our son Nick to come home. Because my family wasn't complete. I told him, I said, you know, tomorrow night is Christmas Eve, and we always celebrate our Christmas Eve together, and I'm afraid that he won't be there, and our Christmas won't be complete. Would you pray that he would come home? And we began to pray that night, didn't we, Virgil? And I prayed like I've never prayed before. God, just let him come home. Let us know that he's alive. And as we're praying, the phone rang. And that Michelle went in the other room to answer it. And it was Nick, our son. And he was telling her that he knew that Christmas was coming tomorrow and he wanted to be home for Christmas. He said, I'll do anything, Mom. I just want to come home. And his mother told him he didn't have to do anything but just come home. We were scared and we missed him. We loved him. And we prayed into the night, and Michelle never did come back downstairs to tell us that our son had called. So when I went upstairs to bed, she was already asleep. And I think that there might have been about 14,272 wrinkles in the tiles in the ceiling, because I was counting them, because I couldn't sleep. All I could do was think about my son Nick, where he was at. Was he safe? Was he alive? Christmas Eve day, I went to work, but I was not there. Somehow that night, the guys that I work with, they were coming down the alley in behind my house, and I looked in the garage and I saw Nick's car. Oh my. This father's heart was full. I know what that prodigal's father felt when he looked far off and saw his son, that prodigal son, coming, because man, that's what I felt. I wanted to go run and hug my son. And I did. I took off and I ran up those three stories of, or however many flights of stairs it was, to get up to his bedroom, and I flung open that door. And all I wanted to do was wrap my arms around my son and kiss him and tell him I loved him. I flung that door open, and all I seen in his eyes was fear. Because the last time he saw me, my eyes were filled with rage and anger, and I was trying to pull him out of a vehicle by the hair of his head. I began to cry as I told him that I know that he couldn't understand because he wasn't a father yet, but there wasn't anything that I wouldn't do to save him. And then it began his time to cry. And he said, I know, Dad. He said, I love you too. He said, and I want something different for my life. Today, my life changes. That day, peace and reconciliation came to my house. And it was only through Jesus Christ and prayer. You know, and that's another byproduct of peace is reconciliation. Reconciliation came to our home that night. And we celebrated Christmas, and I want you to know that was the best Christmas that we ever had. Things were made right in our home. And it was all because of Jesus. The Prince of Peace came. And it is about reconciliation. If you look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about that. Yep. If I could find it.
Oh, I'm sorry, verse 19. Yeah. It says, "For in him all fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him." He reconciled us through the blood of Jesus and the death that he died upon that cross for us, that we might have and know peace. That we might know his peace. Many of you know the rest of the story. That night, my son came home and we celebrated Christmas. And it was a glorious time. And after the meal was done and the dishes were put away and the gifts were exchanged, Nick left the house. And I almost stopped him that night. And so many times as I've thought about that, he said he wanted to go show his Christmas gift to his friends. And I almost stopped him, and I thought, no, that would probably only bring more conflict, and I don't want any more conflict. I want peace. So I said, "Okay, Nick, go. Know that I love you. Be careful." And he smiled at me with that crooked little grin of his, and he said, "Daddy, I love you too." And he left. He took his coat, and he was gone. And that was the last time I saw my son leave. Saw him alive. The next morning, a knock came on the door, and one of the deputies that I worked with was standing there, and 6:30 in the morning, the Christmas morning, I knew he wasn't there to give me any kind of good news. Wish me a Merry Christmas. Tears began to fill in his eyes as he had to tell me about an accident, a fatality. Plates came back to me, but they didn't find any ID on the body. Would I go and identify him? And that fear started welling up in me again. And I had to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I've never been here before." Michelle came downstairs and saw him, wanted to know if Nick got thrown in jail. I said, "I wish, because if he'd gotten thrown in jail, we'd still have him with us." A lot of people think that jail's the end of the line for them. I think it's sometimes a lifeline to save your soul, to save your life. I wish Nick would have gotten thrown in jail that night. And we were told we'd had to go identify his body, and that was a great fear welling up in me. And we got there, and all I wanted to do was hurry up and get it over with. And when they told us we had to wait. And I'm feeling that anxiety creeping up, and I cry out to the Lord again, and Holy Spirit came, and he said, "I'm with you, Brad. I'm here. I've been where you're at. I've lost a son too. I lost him for your sake." And as they pushed us into the room and I saw my son's body, I didn't know what else to do but lay my hands on him, because that's what God in his word had told me to do. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 came to my mind. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things with thanksgiving present your request to God." And then what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I laid my hands on my son's body and I began to pray. And the moment that I said amen, there was a peace that flooded over us in that room. It was indescribable. And yes, that was the most painful thing that we ever faced, was losing our son. But the peace that God gave us is still with us in our hearts. Amen. We had numerous people come into the house wanting to comfort us. And I think Denny told me the other day, he said, "We wanted to come and comfort you, but you were the ones that were bringing comfort to us, because you were so encouraging with what you were saying. You were proclaiming the peace of God and how God worked in that situation." God's good all the time, people. He can be trusted. We have been reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Christ came to this earth, he came for a single-minded purpose, to live a sinless life, to die for our sins, that we might have oneness with the Lord and Savior, with our God, and be made right with him, be reconciled with him. And then to share the good news with other people. We are Christ ambassadors. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just after verses, I think it's 5:17, we were talking about that too, weren't we? For we know that, how does it go? For we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And all this is from God, who, while we were yet still sinners, died for us. And all this happened that we might be reconciled to God, and we have this ministry. We are as if we're Christ ambassadors, and we have this ministry of reconciliation to bring people to Christ, to let them know. That's what this is all about. You know, and I was, I love music. I can't sing. I don't play any instruments, but music speaks to my soul. And, you know, I've always loved music. My wife and I, when we were dating, I'd try to get her to listen to songs, and she would say, "Look, a squirrel," you know, and she would get so desperate. It just frustrated me that people couldn't feel what I was hearing. You know what I'm saying? And this was more of a song. It was kind of like more of a poem written to music, but I want to share it with you because it's kind of the way God's plan went all through the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, even unto today. It said, "It began long ago when darkness through its deceit captured the hearts of the sons of daughters of light. We looked for light, but we found darkness. We searched for bright skies, but we walked in gloom. We fumbled like the blind along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. We were destined to fall. Even in the brightest days, we stumbled as if it were dark. Among the living, we were like the dead. We looked for justice, but it never came. We looked for rescue, but it was far from us. So he himself stepped in to save us. With his strong arm and his justice to sustain him, he put on righteousness as his armor. He put on salvation as his helmet. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. He slipped out of his royal garments and he left eternity to enter time, divinity to wrap himself in humanity. He traded the sea of glass for an ocean of separation. He left peace. And for the first time, felt pain. Because the very hands that held the stars were now sentenced to wear my scars. It was love that purchased the sinner's heart. It's what the prophets spoke about when they envisioned light living in men once again. That light has come into the world, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he died for our sins. He lived that sinless life, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are to carry this light into the world that people might know and have the peace that we have today. So I'm asking you, I'm challenging you today, do you have the peace of God in your life today? Amen, I do too, Max. And if you've never made that decision for Jesus and you feel like your life is full of chaos, will you not turn it over and give it to the Prince of Peace today? You know, we're getting ready to have communion together here in a few minutes. And as we think about that sacrifice on that cross, you know, Isaiah 53, Nathaniel alluded to it at the opening, that Jesus, he came for a purpose, and that was to die for our sins. That little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in the manger, that Messiah that they missed because they were looking for a military king to overthrow the Roman government. Set an example on how we should live, how we should love. And then he died for us. a horrible death. By His stripes we've been healed. That pain that He endured was what brought us peace. You know, and maybe you're sitting here on the fence and you're thinking, well, what will my friends think if I become a Christian? Yeah. But you know what? This unspeakable act of love that God has given us through His Son, His life, His death, more than that, His resurrection. And I was sharing, I played Santa Claus the other day, you might. But I share with them about Christmas and you know how everybody loves getting gifts at Christmas time. That very first Christmas gift was a little baby laying in a manger. Still the best gift, but it's one that's been rejected by many people. But it doesn't matter whether you accept Him or reject Him. The price for you has already been paid. He died for you. And as we reflect on His life, the body that was broken for us, the stripes that were laid on His body for our healing, the blood that ran down that covered over the sins of the world, the agony that He felt, and the compassion that He had even hanging on a cross, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. He did it all for you. And I pray that you wouldn't reject this gift of salvation because it has eternal benefits. It's not just for this life. It's for the one to come. So if you're here and you've never made that decision that you want to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ because He gave His heart and His life to you, I would pray that you would contemplate that decision today as we begin to take communion, as musicians would come forward. You know, it's the best decision you can ever make is to give your heart to the Lord. At Christmas time, we give gifts. Wise men brought Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But all He wants from you is your heart. All He wants from you is your heart. It's enough. And He makes it real easy to do that. We all acknowledge we're sinners. Sinning was something we were born into because of human nature, self-centeredness. Romans 3:20 says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 6:23 says the wages of that sin is death. We deserve death, but Jesus took that penalty for us that we might have life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would have eternal life. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we'd be saved. Do you believe? Can you say, Jesus, I want You as my Lord today that I might have eternal life? And I ask You to come into my heart, Lord, because that's what indwells in us is His Spirit. When we ask Him to come into our heart, His Holy Spirit indwells in us and it empowers us to live a way that's pleasing to Him. That Holy Ghost, that great comforter comes and He guides us in how we should live. And to live a life of repentance, turning away from the way we used to live and turning to a life that's pleasing to Him. He helps us in that. He gives us this clean slate. And He helps us to keep it clean. Amen. Each and every one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus has made that decision. We've raised that hand and we said, yes, Lord, we choose You today. We give ourselves back to You as a gift. Because You gave Yourself to us. And if you're here today, I'd like for everybody just to bow your heads. This is Christmas time. It's a time of giving. And if you've never made that decision, I'm not going to call you out. I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. If you've not made that commitment today, would you make it today? Would you give yourself to Jesus? Father, you're examining the hearts today. You know each and every one of us intimately. So, Lord, I pray that you would come and reveal yourself to us in a new way. Be the Lord of our lives, our King of Kings, that we might, through our lives, honor you and bring you glory. And in so doing, Father, we would be made whole. We could have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And then we could be light unto the darkness places in our world. Those people that we encounter on the streets, those people we work with that don't know you, may our lights shine bright this Christmas season, that we would give them a gift, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his great love for them, that they might be reconciled too, that there truly could be peace on earth at this Christmas time. That shalom, Yahweh shalom, would rule in this land. So, Father, as we contemplate our own lives and we examine ourselves before we take us communion, Father, we give you thanks for this unspeakable act of love that you've given us through your Son's body and blood. May we receive it with pure hearts, that it would renew in us the true spirit of Christmas. That we might say to one another and to our God, shalom. Shalom. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you're going to do. And we ask it in us that you would be glorified in us, to us, and through us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.